I'm not guessing, listen up. I'm not guessing about my faith. I know. And you need, we all need to do that before we know. I cannot be ashamed. I don't care how many wrong person I'm not alive. Doesn't matter how many people say this or that or question this or that. I know in whom I have believed. I'm done. Have you, and this is a little off the path, but have you, I'm a thinker and I always thought when growing up, what if we're wrong? What if my dad is wrong? What if the philosophers are right and everybody's okay as long as you believe in something? What if we're wrong? And the more I thought about what if we're wrong, it's still not a bad life if I'm wrong. I know I'm not wrong. But let me tell you, it's the way to go. It's the best way to live is to serve Jesus Christ. There's not a better way to live in this land. There's no way you could find a better place to be except in His body of His the Christ. There's nothing better. We got the best thing. Got the best thing. Hallelujah. Everything else pales in compared to Jesus Christ. After the resurrection, Jesus is raised from the dead. His job's not done. Here on earth, in his physical ministry, was not done. He had 40 days after he rose from the dead that he was still here. A lot of those 40 days, Jesus is back to trying to convince people that He is indeed the Messiah, the King, and all of that, the risen King. He had victory over the grave, triumphing over death. The death knell that hangs upon everyone who would go into the go back dust to dust, ashes to ashes. He's trying to convince His own guys who He is still. This is after He shows up in a resurrected form in His body. He's still trying to convince people who He is. Very difficult job. Almost as difficult as having your wife break her leg and have to be taken care of. The experts tell us that you can do most anything for 6 weeks. My time is up. Deb and I can honestly say Deb and I haven't had much more fun than what we've had in the last 6 weeks. It's been a little slower, and I've had to yell at her a few times because she was born a slam banger. You don't know what a slam banger is? Come and watch Deb for a while, and you'll find out. They just do things. She puts the medicine in her mouth before she has water to help it go down. I go, Deb, what if you can't get the water and it's dissolving that bitter taste? What? I live on the edge. I feel like Jesus trying to convince His disciples that He's really rose again. I got this motto in our house, slow and careful. So the other day, Deb's feeling better every day now. Understand, she's getting stronger and all of that kind of stuff. And she's got her little walker. I never thought in my life I would have walkers and wheelchairs in my house. Much less commodes. Anyway, she's coming along in the kitchen. And I'm encouraging her to walk as much as possible because the more she walks, the less I have to push. And she sees something out of place, a little... And she's walking. Now, she's walking. If you take your hand off the walker to pick that up, your hand's not on the walker now. And just as she did that, she came over the little throw rug there. And she goes, oh! Her knee gave up, so she says. And she's got this little thing in her hand. And she's trying to... And thankfully, I was near. And I rushed over to her. and yelled at her, it was like, I'm on edge. You know, Dakota with his thing, PTSD, I understand now. So Deb and I had a little conversation in which she listened and I talked. You can't carry stuff around with you. I'll tell you another thing I never thought. Imagine, I never imagined this in my house. A walker with a little bag on the front. I'm about 30 years away from that, all right? But Dad's always been ahead of her time, so. So Jesus takes a good 40 days to try and convince his disciples to go slow and careful. The reality really sets in for these guys, though, when they're out there on Mount Olives. And suddenly the clouds come down and angels come down and Jesus is standing there and he's waving goodbye. Not put in a grave, but he begins to ascend up into the heavens. Jesus is our forerunner. He is our model. What happens to Jesus is going to happen to those that follow him. The clouds will come, the angels will come, and we will go up too. They begin to see him ascend into the heavens, and they're like, oh, this might be real. Yeah, this is real. They're looking at each other. Then 10 days after that, when the Holy Ghost descends on the day of Pentecost, and finally Jesus has the guys that he's always wanted them to be. And Peter's not afraid anymore. He's on fire doing what he's been called to do. And all the boys get up and get at it. Hallelujah. They are left with the apostles and the early believers, not just the apostles. The apostles had the mantle, but all of the early believers, they had a job to do. And that is what Jesus tried. The other great thing Jesus tried to teach was that there's coming a switch. We're moving over from the old covenant to the new covenant. It's like going from fuses to breakers. All right? There's something brand new that has happened here because Jesus died, rose again, ascended to the right hand, sent the Holy Spirit. We are now operating where before there was operation under the old covenant, the covenant of the law, the covenant of sin and death. Now we are operating in the new covenant. This is why they say, well, Paul's teaching, the Peter's teaching, I don't know, I'm sure about that. Listen, they are teaching in the operation of the new covenant. Well, Jesus was on here. The new covenant was not here yet. He was to introduce it, bring it about, but it wasn't here yet. Now the apostles, after the Holy Ghost comes in Acts chapter 2, now they are given the responsibility to tell the world what rule the world is living under and is what we call the New Testament or the New Covenant. This is the terrible fallacy of many Jewish people today, is they do not believe that we're operating under it. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter whether you believe we're operating under the New Testament or not. We are operating under the New Testament. Period. This is the way it is. Can't change it. And so their tremendous job is to introduce the world to a greater, more wonderful covenant than the Israelites had at Mount Sinai. And in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, we're going to start at verse 6. My friends, if you can understand Hebrews, you can understand all the rest of the Bible. If you get you a good study, like the blood of Jesus study that we did here many, many Wednesdays, much of it comes out of Hebrews because it explains the new covenant. Hebrews 8, verse 6. look at your watch and you're saying, I wonder if we're going to get out early today. I'll tell you what, I've shortened the song service on Sunday night for Jamie, and it makes no difference. Because he's thinking, ooh. There's nothing wrong with that. I just don't want to be bored in church. I don't care how long it lasts, but don't bore me. Please. I was raised in it. Being bored in church is one of the worst things. I don't care if you sleep. Listen, sometimes, have you ever had that happen to you? The sleep thing comes on you while you're in church, and you're trying to, and the guy's doing his best job, and you're blinking like this. As long as the Lord's giving you the sweet sleep, and you don't snore. People around you have permission. If you start snoring while I'm preaching, they have permission to elbow you. All right? So, Hebrews 8:6. But now hath he, being Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry. More excellent, that means better. By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. This, what we call new covenant, or listen, that's the last new thing, friends, is a new covenant. Some Joe comes up to you and says, hey, I have a new revelation. Shut up. The last new thing is a new covenant. We don't need any new revelation. We might need fresh revelation of a truth that's already there and that I've received it. All right. Well, don't come to me, I got something new. No, you got something wrong. What you got. For if that, okay, which was established upon better promises. Hebrews 8:6. He is a mediator. Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant than the covenant of the law, which was established. This new covenant is established on better promises. Don't you want the better promises? For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. God knew what he was doing when he made the first one. He made the first one so he could have the second one. It was in his plan the whole time. For finding, verse 8, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It's a prophecy out of Isaiah. Verse 9, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued, so semicolon, then, because they continued not in my covenant, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. They failed. The old covenant, hear me, the old covenant is designed for you and I to fail. The design of it is for you and I to fail, so we can say, I can't do it on my own. It's to show us how weak we are. For this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws not on stone, but in their mind. And I will write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. This is very different. That the door would be open, that the common person would be able to know God. Every other religion usually makes you go through a lot of hoops and so forth to somehow get a little piece of God. And yet he says, everybody, hear me, everybody can know me, from the least to the greatest. Everybody can hear from me, from the least to the greatest. I believe in the new covenant, my friends. I know churches that they get along well. They have this big long list of rules that their members need to keep. Okay? It makes their members liars. But there's a lot of rules and so forth. Listen, if someone gets genuinely born again, the Lord will write His rules in their heart. And if they truly want to seek the Lord, if they're truly wanting to serve Him, the Holy Spirit will tell them, Scott, no more. It's not pleasing to me. Or, Scott, it's time to start doing this and that and the other thing. I don't think we should have to beat people up over the head to try and get them to follow Jesus or behave, be a good boy, and all of that. I really believe if you're honest and you seek the Lord with your whole heart, that He will show you exactly what's right and what's wrong. You can come and ask me if you want to, and I can point you to certain scriptures, what they say. But the best thing is when the Lord gets a hold of your heart and says, this is not for you, and you say, oh, okay, this is from God. I'm not trying to follow some church's rules. I've got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's leading me in the path that I should take. It's narrow. It's a narrow path, but He'll lead you on it. Hallelujah. Verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. You rotten lawbreakers, I will be merciful to you. Comma. What? And their, are you there? Verse 12. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I'm not into chanting, but if we were going to chant something, I'd chant that. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You better get that through your noggin. That's what the Lord does with our sins and our iniquities as we approach the throne. Confess our sins and repent of them. He says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Under the new covenant. Under the New Testament, God washes our sins away as if they never occurred. The sinners are clapping their hands. As we all could. The old covenant, you still bore the weight of the sin. The atonement was merely to appease God's punishment, but you still bore the weight of sin. But the new covenant, through Christ's death, resurrection, ascension, and sending the Holy Spirit, takes the sin away. Does not, that sin has no relationship to you any longer. You say, well, what about the consequences of that sin?
You say, well, the sin's gone, but you got to pay for the consequences.
Well, can I tell you what happens? I don't want to belabor the point here, but let me tell you what happens. God immediately begins to remedy the consequences of that sin. You killed somebody, so you're in prison. He's not going to get you out of prison right away, but He immediately in that prison will begin to work on the consequences of that sin, because in heaven, the sin doesn't exist anymore. This is why when you're being delivered, you're delivered from alcohol, I don't think you should go around saying that I'm an alcoholic. Say, I've been set free by the blood of the Lamb from the need to drink alcohol. Why should I identify something that I was, but I am not anymore? This can only happen if your sins and iniquities are remembered no more. There are two sets of people that will remember your sin. Your siblings, since you were three, and your spouse. Always remember your sin. And you try to get delivered from it, but it just happens. Just happens. You know. Men, you know. You sinned 46 years ago. And she hasn't said a thing about it until the appropriate time. I remember it was April 12th, 1946. And you looked at me like that. And you said something that hurt my feelings so badly. And the man's looking around like, 46? Are you kidding me? And of course, the man, by that time, he's old enough to say, oh, I'm so sorry, honey. We remember other people's sins when we're fighting them, when we're mad at them. We remember their sins. Did you know it's a sin to remember their sins that have been washed away? Oh, I'm feeling it today. It's like we are not to bring up one another's past sins that have been washed away by the blood. If you want to bring it up to give testimony to God, it's one thing. But for me to throw it up in your face, it is not proper. He's washed away by the blood. If God doesn't remember it, what do I mean? Well, you don't understand, Pastor. Maybe I don't. But God does. He'll help you. We keep people in bondage because we don't forgive like the Lord forgives. We put bondage on them. Yeah, well, your spouse didn't cheat on you. You don't know what I'm going through. I don't, and I hope I never know what you're going through there. But I do know that the Lord will help you. One day at a time, He will help you. Until the plan of Satan does not stick a sword in your heart anymore when you think about it. All right? Listen, the devil is always about bringing up memories that are not pleasant. Whew. You ever lay down in bed at night and something went on years ago and suddenly it's at the forefront, right there in the frontal lobe. It's coming out. And it's like, why did that person do that to me? You know? Or maybe it was a little offense that your spouse did. And they say, good night, honey. And you say, good night. It's the devil's work to bring old junk back up. How many here really want to go into your garbage and keep it in your living room? We bag it up and get rid of it to some waste area. We don't keep our garbage in our house, or you shouldn't. Oh, what's this bag? Oh, this is from 1995. I got me a little bag here if I need it. It stinks really bad. But sometimes I just need to open that up and smell it. Oh, no, you don't. Let the garbage man take that. You say it's unrealistic. It is without Jesus unrealistic. But with Jesus, this new covenant business, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Anybody ever lied here? I mean, bold faced. I'm not talking about, well, I lied to spare somebody's feelings. No, you lied to save your bacon. Anybody lied like that? No, it wasn't me. No, I don't know you. You do not have to teach children how to lie. It comes with the territory of trying to cover up something that you did wrong. My goodness, my wife and I tried to drill that into my boys. Lying about it is worse than what you did. Just tell me what you did so I don't have to figure it out. All right? Tell me that you changed your grades on your report card so I don't have to figure it out. Do you know it's not that hard to make a D into a B? If you're really good, you can almost make an F and A. Some of you know what I'm talking about. My oldest son, Andrew, did that to us. We get computerized grades, and they don't trust the kids to take them home. I remember growing up with, like, my report cards and the little thing.
and the little hoarder, and you take it home, got to have a parent sign off on it. No, no one here ever signed their own report card, did they? That would never happen. And no, it was not handwritten. It was a computerized thing that came in the mail. Now, that is pretty foolproof, unless someone steals the mail out of your mailbox. We didn't understand that Andy was happy to do the chore of going to get the mail for a while. And one day he comes in and he says, "Hey, my report card here." Now it has those little things, you got to fold them and rip it. So I go, "Hey, it's already open." He goes, "Well, yeah, yeah, I think they gave that to us in school and my teacher, well, I don't know. But here's my report card." And it was not bad. Bees, a lot of bees. And it was funny because it was a little smudged funny. And it was like, Debbie's going, "Oh, good boy, you're doing so well." And I'm going, "Something doesn't feel right here." And Andy lied through his teeth. He lied. And I said, "That's okay. It's not a problem. I'm just going to call the school and ask the school what your grades are. Let's see if they match up to what's on your report card." He finally gave it up. He said, All right. And listen, quit trying to change your report card. Repent of your sin, and the Lord will wipe it off your report card, all right? It's worse. Why am I on this tangent? Every sin, there's a lie that goes with every other sin. It is like a side salad. It comes along with every meal, the little side salad. And every sin you commit, there's a lie that comes with it. It just gloms right on there with it. Listen, you don't have to lie to God. You don't have to make yourself look better than you are with the Lord. Jesus came to establish a new testament, a new covenant. And he says, "Come to me in spirit and in truth, and I will in no wise cast you out, and I will remember your sin and iniquity no more." I got to run on here. Verse 13. "In that he saith, a new covenant. He hath made the first old." It wasn't always the old covenant. It was the covenant of the law. And what we only call it old because we have a new. That's how something gets old, is when you get something new. "Now that which decayeth and waxen old is ready to vanish away." Jump down to Hebrews 9 and verse 11. "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, not of the building of the temple, the handmade temple that Herod financed, not that, neither is it by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place." Not into the temple holy of holies, not into the tabernacle of the holy of holies, but into the heavenly holy of holies, where God the Father sits on his throne. Jesus took his own blood there. "He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." This is new covenant living. We live under the shadow of eternal redemption. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There's no devil in hell. There's no demon on earth. There's no principality in the air that can change that. Bless God. I am redeemed to heaven forever. This is how thorough a work of the blood of Jesus Christ and faith in that blood does. It is a thorough work, and we are eternally redeemed. "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh,
how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, the Holy Ghost, offered himself without spot to God, without sin, the perfect Lamb of God, offered himself on my behalf and on by your behalf. How much more, let's read verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The Spirit of God will purge the dead works that are rolling around in your mind, the dead thoughts that don't come from God. He's there to purge them, to clean them out, so that we might serve the Lord God. And for this cause is so that the dirty might be made clean. This cause is so that my mind might be sanctified. This cause is somebody who is bound for hell and eternal punishment will come out and be translated in the kingdom of Jesus Christ and live eternally redeemed. Where the New Jerusalem has been created, that we might have access to the New Jerusalem, in which there is no temple and there is no light, there is no sun, because the glory of God lights it and the presence of God is the temple of it. Hallelujah. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. There is a world of difference between the old. Listen, God blessed the people of the old covenant. He blessed Israel. He kept them going. Oh my, and he was merciful under that old covenant. But that old covenant, let me tell you, Moses, one of the most godly men to ever live on this planet at any time. Moses had, listen, he had a hotline to God. Moses, who saw the backside of the Lord on Mount Sinai. Moses, who led the people out of Egypt and spoke for God. Moses. Who was went to the top of Mount Sinai. Moses was the first man to see the handwriting of God. Moses struck a rock instead of spoke to it, and it kept him out of the promised land. God never forgot it. He never forgot that Moses disobeyed him. This new covenant is better than that one. The old was established at Mount Sinai. 40 days, Moses was up, and the top of the Mount Sinai was a smoke and on flames, and a terrible grayness up there. And God set forth the standards of living, and he gave it to Moses in tablets of stone for him to go and share that with the people. It was established there. But the new covenant, which is better than the old covenant, was established on Mount Calvary. A place where the Holy Spirit would come and begin to redeem people from their sins, and so they could hear God for themselves, so that he might write them in their heart. The old was written in stone by the hand of God to Moses. But the new is written in the hearts of mankind. The old is by the letter, but the new is by the Spirit. The Spirit's better than the letter. The old has an earthly high priest. The new as a heavenly high priest. Let me tell you, that's where it counts. I got to be right in heaven today. Before heaven's judges, I have to be right. Men can judge me all they want. Doesn't matter. It's what heaven sees me as. And you better remember that when people put you down and you're to the back of the line and you're unworthy and all of that. Just remember, heaven sees you differently than men see you. The old used the blood of animals that could never take away real sin. The new uses the blood of the Son of God, the Lamb of God, that washes sins away permanently. Permanently. You know there's a difference between a marker and a permanent marker. Your walls know the difference. God help you if you have children and you still have permanent markers in your house. Because they're going to draw, you like your kids' artwork? Well, it's going to be there for a long time if they do it on your walls. Permanent means forever. It lasts and lasts and lasts. That Jesus washes our sins away permanently. Some people struggle with this because you still think you have to pay a little bit for your sin. It's all right to repent. It's all right to ask forgiveness and all that. But you still think you need to pay a little bit for your sins. Well, I deserve it. That's what I deserve. I messed up and that's what I deserve. You do not understand the power of the blood of Jesus. You do not understand the magnitude of the grace of the Lord. You do not understand the mercy of the Lord. And you do not understand the Holy Spirit who will deliver you and lead you away from that old thing that keeps creeping up on you. You don't understand it. Jesus, the old folks, man, the old hymn writers, they sang, Jesus paid it all to him. All, he took all your punishment. You say, Pastor, that you mean people just can live loose lives and everything's all right? Let me tell you, the one who forgives you will also tell you, go and sin no more. The Spirit of the Lord will convict you of your nastiness and say, no, that's not the way to go. Hebrews chapter 12 says he will chasten you, he'll discipline you, and it doesn't seem fun at the moment. But it's for long term, it's going to be great. No, the great grace and mercy of God does not lead me to a loose life. It leads me to a holy life. Because now I am not bound to that old sin. And if an old temptation comes back, my mother-in-law has said this many times, you don't want to try everything, you might like it. You don't have to try everything that comes down the pipe. And it's like, well, I just want to try it. But you don't need to. I've already got the best thing. I don't need to try something else. I already got it. All right? Sometimes that's a hard lesson to learn. But you don't want to try. Let me tell you something. Because if you've never done something, old temptations can't come to get you. Come knocking at your door. If you never got high on drugs, the devil can't ever come to that. Remember, you got so high. It was so wonderful. Why don't you try that again? One of the dangers of going through rehabs and then falling back is that it really hurts you bad when you go back. Some of these guys from Teen Challenge, they've been delivered for a while. They have a weak moment. They go back. And instead of getting high, it kills them. It's very sad. But we're a new creation. We're not made for that anymore. So let me get there. So now the devil has this thing, this old thing, that always tempts you to go back. Maybe you had good times. Maybe it made you feel better for a minute or two. And he's always trying to drag you back there. Always wants you back because he does remember your old sin. Let me say that again, folks, before you fall asleep. The devil does remember your old sin, and he tempts you with your old sin. And when are we going to get smart enough to say, that sin doesn't exist in me anymore. My Jesus took it all away. I'm walking in victory now. Get thee behind me, Satan. You can roar like a lion all you want, but I'm not going in here. You can say that, friend. You can say no. Did you realize that? You can say no to temptation. You don't just have to go bank on, well, Jesus will forgive me. Well, no, you can say no. And it's better that way. You see, the old covenant does not save. Hear me. The old covenant does not save. The new one saves to the uttermost. The old covenant does not heal. But the new covenant, there is a promise of great healing. Spiritual healing. Takes my sins away. emotional healing. He began to heal all the memories and all the wounds that I've accumulated for my life. The Spirit of God in the new covenant will heal them if you let Him. You can hang on to those old things if you want to. You just don't have to. The healer is in the house. By His stripes I am healed. I am healed from worry. I'm healed from bitterness. I'm healed from hate. I'm healed from the things that were done unto me. There's the new covenant. We get to live in the new covenant. That's why we can smile every day no matter what happens. Because we're living under the new covenant. And we've got the healer. Hallelujah. He'll heal your mind. One of the trickiest things in the world is the human brain. How things get in there, we don't even know. And the experts tell us, well, we only like use 10% of our brain. And it's like some are running underneath that percentage. But what we call mental illness, and it is. There's something wrong with your mind. You don't think right. And it comes from things that have happened in your life and so forth, or chemical imbalance. But I want you to know, in the new covenant, we have a healer of the mind. For we can have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We can have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is whole. The mind of Christ is not depressed. The mind of Christ is not perverted. It's right and it's good. And He says, you can have it. And I can heal, God, I can heal your mind so you think like me. Of course we know He heals physically. We have a healer. He's in the house today. It's as real as if He was walking down the streets of Galilee. Hallelujah. The old covenant does not deliver. The new covenant sets the captive free. Not almost free. Free. Jesus comes along and says, God, I'm going to deliver you, but you've got to keep one foot in the cell. We're going to have a ball and chain. And the ball is wrapped in the cell, and you got to be attached to that chain. But you can get along with life like that. You can get off. You're free over here, but you're still stuck in there. That is not how the new covenant works. This is why it's sometimes a little disgusting even to me that we don't give Jesus the credence that He deserves. Listen, when He sets me free, He will set me free indeed. I will be completely free. I'll have no ball, I'll have no chain linked to my prison cell, whether it's mental or emotional or physical. I will not be bound by that because I have a deliverer. He sets the captive, F-R-E-E, free, not almost free. Most of us are living below that because we're not really sure He does that anymore. And I'm here to tell you, He sent me here to tell you today He absolutely does it. The old has little power. You know the law does not have the power to make you good. It has the power to show you are bad. But it does not have the power to make you good. And you have to work really, really hard at being good. It has little power. But the new covenant has great power. It has the power of the heavens. It has the power. Why do we talk? Why are we Pentecostal? Because I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the new covenant that will overcome situations that cannot be overcome any other way but by the power of God. The new covenant is packed with power. Dunamis is the Greek word. Miracle working power. And I don't know, I don't care how many charlatans there are that fake it. The real thing is still there, and the real thing really still happens. The old condemns everyone because we cannot live up to the law. The new redeems us and cleanses us from all sin. The old covenant mediator is Moses. And Moses was flawed. The new covenant's mediator is Jesus Christ the righteous, and there is no flaw in Him. The old covenant asks us to worship at Shiloh or at Jerusalem. The new covenant asks us to worship in spirit and the truth, no matter where you are. Because the new covenant is universal. The new covenant is the same in China as it is in Japan. It's the same in North Korea and Brazil. The new covenant is the same in South Africa and Kenya. The new covenant is the same in the Philippines as well as in Fiji. It's the new covenant. It's universal. It works for everybody, everywhere, every time. That's why we send missionaries out, because it works in Italy. It works in Germany. Hallelujah. It works on the streets of Phoenix, and it works in the slums of Calcutta. It just works because it's a universal covenant. The new covenant, if you come, Tim, please. The new covenant, hear me, I have wonderful news for you. The new covenant is the forever covenant. There is not another covenant coming that we'll have to change again. The new covenant, which we live under, which we have the power of God and the forgiveness of sins, is the forever covenant. It will be in operation into eternity. Henceforth, we live under the new covenant today. That is the rule of God, is His covenant with mankind today. That's what we live under. There is not another covenant that you can live under and be spiritually successful. If you're a Jewish person and want to hold on to the law and the old covenant, go ahead and try, but you will fail. There is a better covenant today with God's people, brought to us by Jesus Christ. This is why the devil has to lie to every Jewish, every Israeli person that doesn't believe who Jesus really is. He's got to lie to them and say, no, you're still waiting. No, we are not still waiting for the Messiah. He has come. Glory to God. He has sacrificed His life on the cross of Calvary. He has risen again. He's gone to heaven. He's got the Holy Ghost. And He's interceding for you and me today. You don't have to wait any longer. The wait's over. The law does not grant you, hear me, the law does not grant you eternal life. No matter how good you are, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, no matter how good you are, he died. He went into the holding cell of death. The law does not bring eternal life, but the new covenant gives us everlasting life. Jesus bought it. Hear me. Jesus bought it for us when He was raised from the dead. He said, now, I live, you live too. He brought forth the word that He said to Martha, and He said, listen, if a man believeth on me, he shall never die. We have eternal. You don't have to wait until you breathe your last air to get eternal life. We are walking in eternal life right now. It's a done deal. Jesus bought it for us, and we're smart enough to receive it. The new covenant or commandment provides all that we need.
Amen.
In the new covenant, all that we need is provided. This covenant is anchored not in two tablets of stone, but this covenant is anchored in your relationship with the living Jesus. Let me repeat that because it's kind of profound. The new covenant is anchored not in tablets or in a church or by a popery or by some elders and all of that. Your new covenant is anchored in your individual relationship with Jesus, the living Jesus. I can have all I want of you. Hallelujah. Would you stand together with me? I'm going to ask you to trust in the Jesus of the new covenant. Paul said that because of the multiple revelations that he had, there was sent unto him a messenger of the devil to
to bother him. A problem. Thorn in his side is where we get the term from. Paul is a man who's very used to getting his prayers answered. He prayed three times. Finally, God said, listen, my grace is enough. My grace, I will see you through. I will see you through your suffering. I will see you through it because my grace, in my grace, is all sufficient. It's enough for every situation. My grace is enough. This morning, would you trust Him with your soul? Would you trust Him with your memory? Would you trust Him with your body? Would you trust Him with the sin that so easily besets us? Would you just trust Him because He's sufficient? Would you understand? I don't want to belabor Him. I want to be done. Would you understand that we do not live under the old covenant, but we live under the Jesus covenant that lasts forever, that in the heart of it is redemption, that He'll redeem things to you that were stolen from you, that He will redeem them to you. He'll redeem your mind back to you so you can think properly. He'll redeem your body back to you so you can operate. He'll redeem your soul back to you so you can have healthy relationships again. He'll redeem your mind back to you.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Lord God, I pray today for each and every one of us that we would understand the sufficiency of the grace of God. There's no mountain too high. There's no river too wide. There's no valley so low. There's no cave so deep that your grace will not be sufficient. You are sufficient. The new covenant provides everything that I need. Let me believe. Let these people believe in the new covenant today. As finally the apostles got it through their hearts and heads that this new covenant is real. Hallelujah. And they could live under it. Bless this people to live under your new covenant in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go tonight. Our prayer service, you're not going to want to miss. Hallelujah.